Good afternoon. It's good to see a good full crowd again this afternoon. We're glad that you're here. Very pleased with our young people up front and paying good attention. It's always good to see that, and just appreciate everybody that has come back to be with us this afternoon and all that may be visiting as well. Also need to express some thanks to someone that bought my lunch at La Isla. Must be the place to go to get a free lunch. But really appreciate that. Pleasant surprise. And this afternoon, I want to spend some time talking about use it or lose it. And I've entitled that the title of the parable of the talents that we read about in Matthew, the 25th chapter. And there in verse 14 through verse 30. I want to begin by reading that and thinking about this very familiar parable of Jesus. When you think about a parable, it basically has been given the definition of a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, which I think is a good way to put it. That obviously the Son of God, one of the greatest, if not the greatest teacher that ever lived and walked on the earth. And he never had the intention of basically trying to hide his message from his audience. He didn't try to impress them, even though he could have with his unlimited knowledge. But Jesus wanted his message understood. And he recognized the basic principle that in order to explain something, you've got to start where your listener is and help them understand by saying, well, what I'm trying to teach you is like this. And the this that you choose must be something that is clearly recognized and understood. And so the parables are full of things where the Lord used basic, everyday, common things to explain things that were not as common and to help people understand some very needed heavenly lessons. And so that's what we'll look at today as we spend our time looking there in Matthew 25. If you want to turn your Bibles there, we'll be spending most of our time in that chapter. Starting with verse 14 and reading through verse 30. And we'll first just read through the parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. Saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, and give it to the one who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has more who has, more will be given, and he who has abundance, will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a very interesting story, and it certainly relates some very good and valuable lessons for us. We start by looking at some of the basic elements of the story itself. You first of all begin with a master. And obviously they were used to those that were major landowners and had large farms and areas, and they controlled a lot, and then they would commit the keeping of these to various individuals, to servants. And that's what we find in this case, that a master going into a far country wanted what he had to be cared for and overseen properly. And so he committed to servants various talents here of what he owed or what he owned. And the idea was that they were to use it while he was gone, and then he would come back and see, of course, how well they had done in the end. Very simple thing that we find. Basically, they were overseeing, taking care of what belonged to another. Very obvious idea of stewardship, that they didn't own what was given to them, but rather it was given to them to be used for the benefit of the master. And he trusted them, committed this to them, while, of course, he was going to be away. Now, as we make application to the spiritual side, to the heavenly lessons, obviously the master is the Son of God. We learned in our lesson this morning, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. We're citizens in that kingdom. We are under his rule and reign. So again, you're talking about Christ as the master. Heaven would be the far country. Our Lord came to this earth, lived and died on this earth, gave his life for us, and then resurrected from the dead. He goes back to heaven to sit at the throne of God and to rule over this kingdom. His servants today would be children of God, Christians who have accepted and obeyed the gospel, and they are under this Lord and master. Now, the talents in the parable, of course, were the sums of money that the master owned, and he committed various amounts to various servants according to their abilities. But really, you can very rightly think of it as talent in the sense of abilities. God has given us many things that he wants us to use. And we've made the point in various lessons that we really do not own these things. That even our own body and our own spirit, we're told, are God's. They're not our own. And so this argument that, well, it's our life, it's my life, I'll do with it what I want, then these servants could have said, well, this is my talent and I'll do with it what I want. And if that were the case, then even the one talent man wouldn't have been condemned for just choosing to do nothing with it if it really was his own. But it wasn't his own. In no case, the five, the two, or the one, they belonged to the master. And they were to be used for the good of the master in the end. And so we learn that, I believe this is what's behind the parable. That the Son of God came, left this world to go back to heaven, commits unto us various gifts and abilities and talents that we're to use to be faithful servants of his and to use those abilities for his good. Now, in the distribution of the talents, we learn that every servant received something. That's what's interesting as you look at the way that he distributes these talents among his servants. There was no servant that didn't get something. But we find that each one received different amounts. Now, we're told basically that God has placed each in the kingdom according to his will, not according to our will. And we learn that every one of us today, when it comes to gifts, talents, abilities, things committed to our keeping that we will be accountable for, it varies from individual to individual. And we know that even the amount of time that we have to work in the kingdom of God, even that can vary. We never know how long, how many years we will have to serve God before that day of accounting actually comes. Some are committed with many things that they are accountable for. Others, fewer or less. And as life itself changes, we understand that our talents and gifts and abilities may also change. What we once could do, maybe we cannot do any longer. And therefore, what we learn is we'll not be held accountable for that, but we will be held accountable for whatever it is that is committed to our care and to our keeping. And that's going to be different and changing and ongoing through our life. We find in the story that there were those who had five talents. There were those that had two talents, or one that had two talents and then one with one talent. Now, think about that. That's quite a difference between having five and having one. But what we learn ultimately is that it was distributed again according to their ability. Now, to some degree, this is not, again, up to us. We each are different in that degree. We vary in our abilities, in talents, in natural talents and gifts that come from God. Each and every one of us are unique. No individual is exactly the same as another. We all have strengths, talents, abilities. We have weaknesses where this really isn't my strength. And fortunately, you know, the way God made or created us, none of us are meant to be exactly the same. You know, even in the home, you have the father and you have a mother. God understood in the beginning when he created Adam that he didn't need a second Adam to be a companion to Adam. He needed an Eve. And he made her different. And her strengths, her abilities, her gifts were completely different than Adam. But then by joining the two of them together, he made a good, perfect, complete whole. And the body of Christ is that way as well. There are many things to be done in the kingdom of God. And no one individual is able to take care of all of that, nor are they meant to. But each has a place to fill, just like we were talking about in our lesson this morning, as living stones. One stone does not the building make. It takes the combination and the work of all of the stones cleaving together to be this spiritual house of God. So in the kingdom of God that is overseen here when the master commits these abilities and then goes away, there are a lot of jobs, a lot of things to be done. And all of the servants of God are needed. And each given a place according to the ability that God gave them. What are they responsible for? Exactly what was given to them. In the story, the one talent man is not condemned because he didn't use five talents. He was responsible for one. And the one that had two talents was not responsible for three or four or five, just the two. Now, he was responsible for twice what the man with one was, but he was not responsible for more than what was given him. But the five talent man would not have been considered faithful had he used only what the two-talent man had, and certainly not what the one-talent man had, or even the combination of the two. Remember, in the Scripture, one of the principles is, to whom much is given, much is required. So again, he had five talents. He had a much heavier load on him than the other. But in the end, they were all responsible for the same thing. To use what was given to them for their master. And furthermore, they were not given more than they could do. Again, the one talent man was not expected to do what the five talent man did. He wasn't in the same position. And just like, again, whether it be in a business or whether it be even in the army, you know, you don't commit to a private what a general needs to do, or what a lieutenant needs to do. Each one is given their place, given their work. They reach that according to their abilities, and that's exactly the way this was. They were not required to do what was beyond them, what was not a part of what they were able to do. But then, once again, important to recognize that it was according to what the master had dictated and determined. In other words, You don't find the five talent man saying, I want all of those talents. I want those five talents. Let me have those. And the two talent man saying, I'll take these. And then the one talent man saying, well, I'll take the one talent that's left. And when we're born, we don't get to choose where our strengths and weaknesses lie. We are made the way that we are. We come into this world again without choice. And again, it's interesting to note the way that some will grow up in homes that really are not good homes at all. Now, it doesn't, again, take away from the fact that they still have some gifts and talents given by God. They are going to have responsibility. Others may have a much easier road. Some may have tremendous talents that others never receive. But it's not up to us. We don't choose. It's given to us by the Master. We are created by God. We are given a place in the kingdom of God. Again, called by God if we choose to answer that calling. And then we are expected to do what He has created us with the abilities and talents to do. Now let's think about, again, the use then that we find of those talents in the Word of God. We read there a moment ago how that the one talent man or the five talent man gained five more. Now what does this mean? Well, clearly, what it's saying is he put to use what God gave him. He was not afraid. He was not daunted. He wasn't overpowered by the fact that God gave him five, or the Master here gave him five talents to use. Five times the sum of money that the one talent man had. This man understood what was to be done with it. Now, it was like that he takes the money and he invests it on behalf of the Master and then doubles the money over the time before the Master comes back, and it's a time of reckoning. He doubles that sum by simply using it, investing in it, and taking advantage of what had been given unto him. And therefore, it is considered to be a good and a faithful servant because he put to use what was given to him. Now, we know in the second place, the same thing happened with the two-talent man. He gained two more, again, just like the man with five. Now, in the end, they did exactly the same thing. They used what they had. You could not expect a man with two talents to be able to invest it and gain five more. Unlike the five-talent man, they each did the same thing. They are called faithful and good stewards of what God had, or the Master had given them, and as a result, of course, brought great talent or gifts back to the Master. Now, what is the lesson there for us? What does He want from us? Well, God gives us life. He gives us health. He gives us strength. He gives us talents. And what does He want in return? He wants us to use that life to bring honor and glory to Him. He wants us to grow and to develop. He wants us to become a Christian, a child of God. Again, remember, we are beloved of God. We're chosen by God. We are His own special people that we can show forth His praises to the world. And if we are not like the one talent man, if we are not swayed by either laziness or fear, then when we accept and obey the gospel, we understand the principle we talked about this morning, that we are now babes in Christ and we are to grow and develop. And, you know, with a baby, when they first begin, you may never know where the real strength or talents of that child lie. But every child that grows and develops has talents, has gifts, has abilities. And some truly amazing. There are truly some five-talent children out there, two-talent children, one-talent child, whatever. They're just, again, as in life, we all have different gifts and talents and abilities. But then we've got to begin to grow and to develop to see what those are. And as we grow and develop, we learn at times that we can do things we never really thought we could do if we're trying, if we want. There are things that we can do that will increase our strength and our ability. And what I'm saying is we gain more. How? By use of what we have. What you find in this story is, what will not be gained, anything gained from, is the talent that we take and bury. The one talent man did not use his talent. Now, he recognized the principle that this did not belong to him. The talent wasn't his. It was his master's. So he didn't just take and use it for himself or lose it or give it away. He hid it in the earth. His concept was, this is what I got. I'm not going to lose it. I'll save it. I'll bury it where it's safe. And then I'll return back to God exactly what he gave me. Well, that's not what he wants. You know, God doesn't want us to stay exactly the same. He wants us to grow and to develop. He wants us to become not only useful in the kingdom, but more useful. He wants us to ever be increasing. You know, there are those, again, through the years that I've watched, especially some of these young people, as they begin to grow and develop, learn to start giving an invitation and never thought they could do that. Learn to start leading singing, never thought they could do that. Continue to grow and develop. One day, maybe give a sermon, and never thought they could do that. And fear could keep us back from doing things we've never done and we think we can't do. But if we are willing to use gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us, it's amazing how we can develop. And there are those that would think, I could never be an elder of the church. But again, when they start using their talents, using their abilities, and growing and developing, suddenly they realize that maybe this is what God wants from me, to be an elder in the church, or to be a deacon in the church, or many other, you know, all of the different positions that need to be filled, to decide to teach a Bible class, and the responsibility and the weight that goes into that, and the souls that are touched by such action. I don't know where your talent lies, but I know you have it. And the only question is, are you willing to use it? Are you willing to invest it so that you can gain more in return? Through the years, I've heard so many people make the statement, you know, I learned more in that class than anybody because they chose to teach. And they realize that when you teach, you've got to be ready to teach. You got to put in more study. You got to work harder. And you end up learning more. And I watch even my wife teaching the 4 and 5 year olds and the amount of work that goes into that. And I guarantee you, she knows that lesson just as well as I would if I were going to teach on that lesson. So it's not, again, who you're teaching, but the fact that you're teaching and you're, again, investing in souls and you're growing and they're growing and you're filling a place in the kingdom of God. But that's what happened with the 5-talent man and the 2-talent man. They were not afraid to use what God gave them. And because they did, they grew. And it was on the same simple principle that you use something like money, you invest it, and people will pay you, you know, when you invest in money with interest, and you come back and you gain more because you're putting the money to use. But nobody ever got a nickel worth of interest by burying it under a mattress or putting it in the ground. They're not going to pay you to hold on to what you've got and not use it. But we could, out of fear, just say, well, I'm just afraid. I don't think I can do that. Or, whatever the fear. Or it may just be pure laziness. I don't want to do that. Somebody else will do that. And you don't find the 5-talent or the 2-talent saying, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else have these talents. You know, the 5-talent man could have said, I don't have 5 talents. I've only got 3. I'll use 3, but I'm not going to use 5. And that wouldn't have been good enough. And the same with the 2-talent man could have said, well, I'll use this one, but I'm not going to use this one. Well, that's what you were given. So that's what you're to use. But lo and behold, then he uses it and now he's doubled it. And that means now he's got 4. And so now he needs to be using the 4. So no matter who we are, we could get all wrapped up in this world and we could get caught up in doing other things rather than investing again in heavenly things. But there will come eventually a day of reckoning. The 1-talent man was not governed by faith, but by fear. Faith, again, is trust and confidence in God, knowing that when He requires something of us, as we learn in this story, He gives us everything that we need to be able to do that. If there's one lesson that we learn throughout the Word of God, isn't it that? You look at even the stories in the Old Testament, like when God was building the tabernacle or had men building the tabernacle. He gave the ability that was needed to every man that was involved in working on the tabernacle. Whatever skills and gifts and talents were needed, God gave it to these men and then expected them to turn around and use it to build what He wanted to be built. And when it came to the body of Christ, the church, in the days of the first century and the apostles, what we find is, again, it says God gave gifts to men. And He gave to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. What you find here are the five talent, the two talent, the one talent man. And God understood and knew exactly what He needed in His kingdom. And again, He gave gifts to men. But what if the men did not believe in Him or trust in Him or have confidence in Him? What if they were fearful or afraid? Then they would not be willing to use their talents and to do what He required of them. Out of fear, or possibly, if not fear, then laziness. But in the end, we have again the same responsibility for all. And that is, they are to be faithful in what they are able to do. There are obviously different talents even between male and female. God did not intend for a woman to fill a public pulpit and teach over the man. God never intended for a woman to be an elder of the church. And it wasn't to put her down. It wasn't because God didn't love women. It isn't because they are not a co-heir of eternal life. It's a different talent. It's a different gift. It's a different ability. God still has a place for godly women. But it's just not in those particular areas. But what they are accountable for is the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given them to use in the kingdom. And even the Apostle Paul often named many women that were great helpers and servants to help him actually do what he needed to do. Things that, again, should not be overlooked. Anyone filling in and doing what they have the ability and talents to do is pleasing unto God as long as they're putting to use what God has given them. That's what faithfulness involves. But eventually, there will be this great day of reckoning. And that's what we read about in the parable. That eventually, the master returned. And when he came back, then each of these servants came before him. And the five talent and the two talent man were, of course, happy to bring out that they had gained more. And what was the Lord's answer to them? Well done, good and faithful servant. And He said, you've been faithful in a few things, you will be now master over many. You know, God judges our lives. He takes into account what He gave us, and that's exactly as we've learned, what He expects us to use, and then He sees how we've done. And if we have put to use what God has given us, then again, He'll say, enter into the joy of thy Lord. So what's the lesson? Well, we are accountable. And you know, the five talent man couldn't say, well, I didn't want these talents. Just take them back. That's essentially what the one talent man said. I'm afraid. I didn't think I could use them. So I didn't mess it up. I didn't do anything with it. But here it is, exactly what you gave me. Is it going to be okay if we go back to God and we just give Him back exactly what He gave us? No. We didn't use it. You know, you might not only consider here the talents money, you could also make a lesson out of them being time and effort. You know, do we give Him any of our time? Do we use time to invest in the kingdom of heaven? In trying to save our soul and the souls of others? Do we take whatever talents God has given us? And again, whatever age we are, we have talents. We have gifts still to use in the kingdom of God as long as we're drawing breath. And what are we doing with it? Are we using them? And God expects that we'll always be investing and using the gifts and talents that He has given us without fear and without just being lazy. Just don't want to do it. So the reckoning for us will be the day of judgment. And at that time, just like with the one talent man, there'll be no answer for the fact then that I haven't already used what God gave me. The time of using it will be over. Now will be the time to answer for it. So after we die and after the judgment and we stand before God, it's going to be set. Either we will have used the life that He gave us to honor and glorify Him and use our talents, or we have not. And the answer then will come. Now let's think about, as we close, some of then of the main lessons that we've learned from this very simple but very powerful story. Number one, what does God expect? He expects us to faithfully work in His kingdom. That's what He wants. Faithfully work and serve Him. We are not just in this life to satisfy ourselves. We're not here just to eat and drink and work and sleep and play or whatever it may be. We're not here just to pursue our own hobbies. We're here to be in the kingdom of God. The Master is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that died for us. He has called us into His kingdom, and now it's up to us to answer that call. But when we come into the kingdom, you know, we read so many times about the kingdom of heaven like a great vineyard or something of this nature, like the parable of the sower sowing seed and growing things. And the idea is we're not in the kingdom just to eat the produce. We're not there just to eat the grapes in the vineyard. We're there to produce them. We're there to work. And that's the figure here of the parables. You are given these talents for one reason, to use them for the profit of the Master. And that's what our lives are for. That's what our spirit, our soul is for, that is made in His image. And what we do also clearly learn from the third man, the one talent man, is that fear or laziness will condemn us. We can honestly be afraid to do the right thing. We can be afraid to use gifts and talents and never put them to use. But it will not work to get us off on the day of judgment. In the book of Revelation, He tells us the fearful will have their place in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And so again, many people could honestly use that excuse. I was afraid, as the one talent man says. And as a result, he was condemned, rejected by his Lord. And of course, there are numerous passages throughout the Word of God that condemn laziness. One simply not willing to use or to do what God has given him the abilities and talents to do. And it's very easy to just deny and say, well, I can't do that. But it's rarely can't. It's far more often won't. It's a matter of choice. The five talent and the two talent man were no different than the one. They just had more of the same. And they were required to use it, and they did use it without excuse. So where are we going to be with our excuses on the day of judgment when others stand up there having the same talents and gifts and abilities, and they used them, and we didn't? How can we expect that that will work? We know better based on this story. Third, we realize that the talents that we have, again, will either increase or decrease. And it depends on one thing: usage. Have you ever learned to do something that you never thought you could do? And you really surprised and amazed even yourself. We see it all the time. It starts, you know, even with a young child trying to learn to ride a bicycle. And I think in the very beginning, they think, you know, I can never master this. How will I ever do that? Every time I try it, I fall. And if you quit with the first fall or the second fall or the third fall even, you'd never learn. But sooner or later, they keep trying. And eventually, they learn. And then it gets so easy, eventually they say, it's like what? It's like riding a bike. And there are a lot of things in life that way. When we try, and when we keep trying without fear, and the result is, again, suddenly we have not only mastered that, but we've gone beyond that. And now we've learned more. And again, you look at many in the kingdom of God and how far and how well they have advanced in serving God. And it's all because of one thing. They're not afraid to try and use the talents that God's given them and work to develop more. Not so they can pat themselves on the back and talk about how great they are. Because remember, everyone is what they are because God made them that way. And he knew what he needed in his kingdom, and he's filled every position by giving talents and gifts and abilities to men, and he expects them to use those gifts. Have you ever heard the idea taught that we are God's hands, we are God's feet to take the gospel, we are God's mouth to spread the word of God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe? And his plan is for each one to teach another one and another one and another one. And again, God is using men and women as instruments in service to him that can accomplish great things. But we can put an end to that real quickly when we're afraid to use what he has given us. So when we put them to use, we grow. We always grow. And we get better. Just the same way we do if we're trying to learn to hit a baseball or a basketball. By putting it into practice and doing it more and more, we grow and we grow and we get better and better. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Our increase or decrease depends on usage and our willingness to do so. And then the final point is, there are no zero talented Christians. Now, I know through the years I've met some who would try to challenge me and say, no, I'm one of them. You know, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any abilities. I believe that's an excuse. And I realize you may, you know, maybe you're a person that has very limited education. Maybe you grew up in a home with no parents that even believed in God and they never taught you anything about the Word of God. Maybe you're very poor financially. In a lower financial class than the average person. You may have any number of handicaps, but I guarantee you, you have some talents, you have some gifts, and you have a place in the kingdom of heaven. In this story, there's no one that wasn't given a talent. And the same is true with us. However little or small we may perceive it to be, or if we're simply trying to not have to do it because we deny that we have it, how would that work? I gave you this talent and now you say I didn't give you anything? So we each have it. And again, if we want more, then let's use what we have. Have you ever heard people say, oh, I hope, you know, I can gain or win $1 million. And if I had $1 million, oh, what I would do for the kingdom of heaven. You know what God says? He that is not faithful in little will not be faithful in much. It's not a question of what you would do with what you don't have. The question is what you are doing with what you do have. And that's what you'll be judged for. Are you a Christian, a child of God? Where are you in the parable of the talents? What has God given you? And are you using it? And be sure, if you're not a Christian, you haven't even answered the call of God. You still have talents and abilities. You just haven't applied them to start using them for God. You're using them for yourself. And there's some very talented people in the world that use those great gifts and talents all their life for their own advancement and to leave an inheritance behind for their family, but they never think about heaven and eternal life. And one day, they're going to find that they missed what life itself is all about, what their real purpose for being here is even for. It's not for ourselves. We have a master that left to go to heaven a long time ago, and he's going to come back one day, and we're going to give an account for what we have done with what He gave us. If you're here and not a Christian, we hope that you will come in obedience to Him today while we stand and sing to encourage you.